I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here. Go to chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com. So excited today. We have added another state to the Liberty First Sovereign Duty Movement. Yes, Liberty First Brigade. Today, I taught the legislators of the Republican Caucus of the great state of Ohio. It's just the House of Representatives. They are the minority in the House. But I taught about 12 of the Republican caucus today, and I'm so very, very excited about that. I taught them the sovereign duty lesson. If you don't know the sovereign duty lesson, you don't know why your legislators need to have that. If you don't know the sovereign duty lesson, you don't know the designed plan that our framers put in place to fix an out-of-control federal government. The plan without a revolution. And if you don't know that plan, you need to get my book, Sovereign Duty. You know, I don't plug what I do, but I want you to understand how important this is. And now we have taught Utah, Arizona, Kansas, and Oregon. Washington is being scheduled as we speak. This is important stuff. But I want to talk to you about something else important today. In the Liberty First Movement, Liberty Over Security. This is the Liberty Over Security principle. You cannot watch the news. You cannot search the internet. You can hardly do anything these days without being bombarded of obvious violations of our right to be secure in our persons, houses, papers, and effects. And we had better become aware of what it is that is our rights and how we are to protect them. Judges these days seem fine with allowing the government exceptions to the Fourth Amendment, to our right to be secure in our persons, houses, and papers, effects, that we hardly recognize it anymore. I know that law schools do not teach the Constitution. They teach constitutional law. Those are not the same things. Constitutional law classes teach that men and women in black robes know more about the Constitution than the men who wrote it. They also teach that these same black-robed constitutional literates can rewrite the Constitution through precedent and opinions based on their erroneous law school education. And according to the Fourth Amendment, we have certain rights, not because of the Fourth Amendment, but as pointed out by the Fourth Amendment, we have certain rights. We have right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. We don't have the right to be free from all searches and seizures, just unreasonable ones. But the term unreasonable is no mystery. We don't need the Supreme Court to identify it for us. We can have it in our minds very clearly because it is clearly defined within the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment reads, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And a warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. A careful review of the Fourth Amendment tells us everything we need to know. The right against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. The Second Amendment is not the only provision that contains these words. The government has been infringing upon the Second Amendment for decades, so why are we so surprised that the Fourth Amendment would get the same government treatment? only reasonable searches and seizures are allowed within the definition of our rights. And a reasonable search and seizure is one with a warrant based upon probable cause, subject to due process review, the oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and, capital A, capital N, capital D, particularly describing the persons or things to be seized. There is clearly a five-prong requirement, as indicated by the word and. You cannot have 4 out of 5 or 3 out of 5. You can't even have 4.5 out of 5 and still have a reasonable search and seizure. Now I'm going to challenge you. I challenge anyone to find within this language any other exception other than the 5-prong test. You can't. Because every exception that doesn't exist within the Fourth Amendment itself is an exception created by the government for the purpose of aiding the government in their unreasonable searches and seizure. There is no language in the Fourth Amendment that says no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched or the persons or things to be seized, unless it's a matter of national security, or the government has a compelling interest in the safety or security to do otherwise. But that's exactly what our judges consistently do, being either illiterate or ignorant to the true meaning and application of the rights of the people to be secure. The Fourth Amendment was not designed as a tool to be used by government to keep its people safe. It was a warning to the people that if the government engages in any search and seizure outside these bounds, you have an evil and oppressive government. Such warrantless searches were perpetrated upon our framers in the form of writs of assistance. James Otis Jr., an attorney who took on the government to defeat these searches and seizures, called these searches and seizures, quote, the worst instruments of arbitrary power, the most destructive of English liberty, and the fundamental principles of law that ever was found in an English law book. What has happened to liberty in the last 252 years? Have we allowed our fear to trump our liberty? Our founders work very hard to create a federal government that would be locked in a limited and defined box. We, their descendants, have turned around and handed the government the keys. Exigent circumstances, roadside checkpoints, national security, officer safety, they're all expansions of government power, written by government-paid lawyers, allowed by government-paid judges, and used by government-paid agents. We have succumbed to the fear factor. Make no mistake, trading liberty to keep us safe is the primary role of government. No, it's not. The primary role of government is not national security. It is, as the Constitution clearly mandates, liberty security, as in to preserve the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. You see, William Pitt the Younger said in 1783, necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants, and it is the creed of slaves. No truer words were ever penned. However, here we are today, accepting the government's argument of necessity, and out of ignorance and arrogance, fueled by fear, we do not see they are revealing themselves to be tyrants, and we are allowing ourselves to be slaves. Now I gave a PowerPoint presentation at Chemeketa Community College in Oregon, and after that presentation, I interviewed 2 of the students. I want you to hear what these students said after hearing about their 4th and 2nd Amendment rights. See, I didn't just simply stop with the 4th Amendment. I went straight on to the 2nd Amendment about why the 2nd Amendment is not about hunting, skeet shooting, gun collecting, and it's not about robbers and rapists. These are 2 men, 27 years old, going through the community college, and I want you to hear what they have to say, the things that are important to them, and the things that should be important to us.
I'm here with Marcus at Chemeketa Community College, right? In
Salem, Oregon.
Salem, Oregon, right. I should know that because I was at the Capitol this morning, and we're just right around the corner. And Marcus, you just attended the training that we had on the Second and Fourth Amendment. Why did you come?
Primarily just because I find these things interesting. Due to the fact that I feel like our society today is so disjointed from, I think, our history, and that a lot of citizens, including myself, are completely unaware of the foundations of, you know, what our Constitution is, what some of our basic laws are, of how our nation was developed and why it came about, and why we have the rights and the Constitution and, you know, the different things set in place, because it just seems like they don't even relate to us today and that, you know, there's no need for them.
Were you surprised with the number of people in this room when I asked, name your five liberties in the First Amendment? Were you surprised at the number of them that could not?
Honestly, no, I wasn't surprised, just due to the fact that, you know, like I said, I mean, it's just so, we're not even taught about these things at all. I mean, we're so bombarded, even educationally, with everything else, whether it's, you know, chemistry or math or history, that it just kind of falls through the cracks. And you know, I'm including myself, I have no idea what my five rights are or anything as such.
We have to take a little break, but you're going to be amazed at what you hear from Marcus. If you heard the interviews that we did a few days ago of the young people, you're going to hear some great commonalities between Marcus's interview and another interview that we did. I want you to see that the concerns of these young people are not isolated. They are common, and they all revolve around the fact that they have become ignorant to their rights because they have not been taught. Marcus says right there, I don't know what my five rights are in the First Amendment because nobody has ever taught us. We are bombarded with so many other things that everything else seems unimportant. It's about time that we start making these things important, don't you think? It's about time that we, as the adults who are in charge of ensuring that the liberty will prosper and will continue, we have to start waking up and teaching these young people the value of liberty so they will know it's worth fighting for.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back. We're going to jump right back into our interview with Marcus from Chemeketa Community College.
And so today we talked about the Second and Fourth Amendments. Did it hit close to home to you? What was going on here?
Just in kind of my observation of society today and seeing some of the cultural struggle and the change, you know, I've been contemplating these things and I've been wondering about these things, but it just kind of falls by the wayside as far as, you know, on the totem pole of importance in my life. And I think it really did strike me the severity of how critical these things are and even potentially, you know, shaping my future and how, you know, just the land is the political field is shifting today. And I can totally see different rights being eroded just unconsciously.
You know, I think that the hardest part is having enough knowledge to gain the courage to get more knowledge to take the stand. And that's what we're trying to do. If there was one thing that you could have taken away from today's lesson, what would that be?
I wish I could got the whole presentation so I could have just been able to continue to research and teach myself these things. You know, one interesting thing regarding like the Fourth Amendment, you know, this is something I've been really considering for quite a while, but I just didn't have a well-prepared argument as to what my position is or why I think that way. I just feel like it should be like this, but I have no definite proof. And I think that was the interesting thing about the presentation, was the fact that it wasn't even necessarily trying to say, you know, and this is what's going on today, you know, an argument about what side is right or wrong. It was more presenting just the historical fact and the foundation of this is what your rights are, and this is the proof of where they came from and why they were put into place by those certain individuals like Richard Henry Lee mm-hmm. and Samuel
Adams. Yeah.
And so, you know, taking, for example, the well-regulated militia and understanding the purpose of the arms, I feel like, you know, this was awesome because now I can have proof to where, you know, I have absolutely no problem standing up for, you know, what I believe in to say, hold up now, this isn't right. But the issue is, do I have the reasoning and the judgment and the evidence to say, this is not right and here's why? And that's one thing I really took from this and at the same time wish I could get some more of.
Well, let me tell you what, Marcus. I actually teach a 5-hour workshop on Saturdays where I start off with the history of the Constitution. Remember, we talked about the 700 years. I mentioned that in passing several times in this thing. And then I walk through the Bill of Rights 1 through 10. I show you where they came from in history. Mm-hmm. I show you why they were incorporated in the Bill of Rights, how they're supposed to be working, how we're doing it wrong, and what we can do to restore them. Would you be interested in watching one of those 5-hour workshops?
Oh, I would love to. I would love to be able to, you know, participate in something like that. However, one question I have, though, is, you know, do you even feel, honestly, because I feel like it's almost pointless, like, can we even shift? Can we change as a society to be able to claim back, you know, those rights, in a sense, or even being able to educate other individuals to say, hey, you know, stand up? And
for over 700 years, people have been standing up against kings. The beauty of what we have is we're not kings. We start off with more power. And for 700 years, people have stood up to kings, secured more power and liberty to themselves, limited more power, each time limiting more power from the king, until we get to the point where we came to a realization. You want to talk about a cultural shift? Look at 1776.
Right.
We have people who knew nothing but kingdoms and kings and being subjects mm-hmm. and handed everything for over 700 years. And this cultural shift was, hey, that's not working out. Let's try something different. We can do that. And the benefit that we have, Marcus, is the fact that we're not starting on the kingdom platform. We're starting higher. And we can launch even farther than they did. It's trying to make a cultural change and not a political
right.
change. If all we're doing is motivated to changing out people in office, then
exactly.
we're not doing anything.
Do you hear Marcus's same concerns coming out of your mouth? Can we really change this? What is our hope? And then finding out that our hope lies in the fact that history repeats, and that when we stand for liberty, we always win. And it's not about changing out office, it's about changing cultures. I just can't tell you how excited I am, how encouraged I am about talking to a young person who is so motivated and so wants to know about liberty and so wanting to change what he sees in front of him. I hope you're motivated too.
It never really mattered how hard it would be, because she filled me with love and the strength to leave. She said,
the Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Well, we're not through with Marcus yet. We have a few more minutes of this interview. And, man, I'm going to tell you what, after this interview, and everybody in the room was so impressed with Marcus. The guy that we're going to interview next, he's like, man, I don't want to go after that. How am I going to follow that? Are you impressed? I was so impressed. So I don't want to waste any more of your time with my words. Let's just get right back to Marcus.
I'm handing you a 3-DVD set of my 5-hour workshop.
Thank you.
And I'm going to give that to you. And it's chaptered out in 40-minute segments. You don't have to watch the whole thing all at one time. But I want you to have that because it's good for my soul to see somebody like you, a younger person who is hungry for this kind of knowledge. And that will give you the whole presentation, and you can watch it over and get the quotes and have this
Thank
stuff.
You.
And as a matter of fact, if I have the workbook that goes along with that in my car, I will try to find out how to get that to you. My car is not here, but we're teaching at the People's Church tonight. Mm-hmm. If you have time to come down tonight, I will give you the workbook that goes with that, and then you'll have that stuff in your hands.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for your time, Marcus. If there was one thing that you could say to the people of your generation about liberty and the passion that you obviously have about this, you now have several million people listening to you, Marcus. I didn't tell you that at the beginning, but we have stations all over the country that listen on the internet. We have a Canadian station that carries us. What would that statement be?
I feel like one of the issues that discouragingly faces my generation is the fact that we are so caught up in the distractions, which, you know, I'm not even going to get into that, whether it's perpetrated by media or just busy lives, and that we look at America and we look at our rights and they have no value because they seem so old and irrelevant. And yet, you know, just turning on the TV and even watching recent current events in the news, and seeing, you know, conflictions with local governments, that people need to stand up and people need to be able to say, hey, this is not right. This all it's doing is further breaking us down as a generation. So even, you know, my children's generation is just going to continue to disintegrate, and, you know, it seems hopeless due to the fact that, you know, previous generations have made certain choices. But, you know, if we had the education, the foundation and understanding of what our power to motivate change is, that, you know, there are individuals out there who would be willing to stand up. And I encourage everybody who's listening to stand up. Because it doesn't just affect you, it affects your children, it affects your neighbor, it affects your family.
Would you recommend the education that you got today?
Oh, of course.
Awesome. Well, that makes me feel good. Thank you, Marcus. We're going to be on the air with this tomorrow, so go to the website and you can listen. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know about you, but when Marcus said that our biggest problem with our generation are the distractions, when he said that, and I felt the pain in his heart, my eyes welled up with tears. Because if you remember from the interviews that we did last week, that was the exact same thing that those young people said. We are so distracted by so many things that are placed before us that are simply not important. And that's our biggest problem. And the sad thing is, it's our problem too. It's our problem. And we have got to make sure that we are doing what we are supposed to do, teach these young people, putting the right things in front of them. And it so very, very much breaks my heart. Let's hear from this other young man. Listen to their hearts, Liberty First Brigade. Listen to what's important to them.
I'm with Luke, and we just finished my Second and Fourth Amendment presentation. And Luke is now part of our new series of interviewing the young people on what you've learned and these sort of things. Why did you come to this today? Did somebody drag you, or did you come by choice?
I came by choice, but my uncle is the one who inspired me. I've never heard of you.
Uh-huh.
He's a huge fan, and... and now I am too.
Oh, so, well, thank you. So why did you come? What did you think you were going to learn when you came?
I honestly really didn't know what I was going to learn, but everything that you said today struck a chord in me that I think is gonna ring for a long time.
How would you describe your conscience? Are you liberal, conservative? I mean, or do you think you have constitutional leanings? I mean, how would you describe yourself?
I'd say I grew up very conservative. Mm-hmm. I'm still very conservative, but I don't really like to typecast myself like that.
Yeah, I don't like labels either, but.
If I did have a label, I'd be very conservative, constitutional. Mm-hmm. I love freedom, and I think that we're losing our freedom. And I didn't know the extent until you spoke today, but but I definitely.
It's this Second and Fourth Amendment presentation is very eye opening on the level of force that the government is using against us. What did you find most compelling about the lesson?
Most compelling. I think what you said about men standing up for things that they believe in, that they feel in their soul, that they even if other people won't understand at the time, or they might reject them, and people might not stand with them, but they're going to stand up because their heart knows it's right. That really struck a chord with me, and that really made me I guess you could say. Want to stand for people that don't know what they're losing for not standing. Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. Was there something, we talk a lot of things about the federal government in this lesson about how they're ignoring our rights, and especially in the Fourth and the Second Amendment. Was there anything that we talked about tonight about what the federal government is doing that you didn't know about?
Yeah, I didn't know that the Constitution on the 100 miles.
The Constitution free zones.
So Constitution free zone. I didn't know we live here in Salem, Oregon, and that puts us in a Constitution free zone.
That's
so,
right.
That kind of set me off a little bit. That's pretty scary to know.
It is pretty scary.
I don't think most people know that. I don't think anyone knows that. If anyone, I know a lot more than some of my friends because of my uncle who informs me on a lot of this stuff. But
does he wear a tinfoil hat a lot?
A tinfoil hat?
Yeah.
He tries to get it on me too, but I was a little shocked.
Yeah.
I was definitely shocked. It's pretty alarming.
It's hard to see it right in front of you. It's one thing to hear it from your uncle, but then to see the evidence of it right there is just it's very distressing, isn't it?
It's very distressing. And when you said I'm going to Florida in a couple of weeks, and you said Florida has no constitution. They're not under constitutional law right now.
Right. Well, under the constitution-free zones, the entire state of Florida is technically a constitution-free zone.
Blows my mind. I don't know how that can pass when people – how do people not know about that, I guess, is what I
– You know, the thing is that they don't know the language, the constitution-free zone thing. But what they see is an allowance for the government to secure – our borders from terrorists, right? And so the whole premise for the Constitution-free zone is to say we need to expand our power as the federal government to keep you safe. And people will always line up for that safety cupcake, right? And they don't realize that what they're doing when they're saying, okay, government, go ahead and expand your power on your own authority to keep us safe, what they're doing is making a Constitution-free zone in those areas. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really know where to start, so I'm actually going to download your app and stuff so I can know how to, where to begin even trying to reclaim some of the freedom that I think we've already lost without knowing it.
Do you have that's right, because the education is the part of it. Mm-hmm. Do you have any friends that are like-minded with you?
Like-minded, but don't think about it very often.
Right.
We're pretty... Marcus, who just spoke, talked about the distractions of our culture and everything, and I think that I think that's definitely coming strong with me and most of my friends. We maybe know about it, but we don't follow it very closely because we're so wrapped up in our day-to-day lives.
Let me tell you what, it doesn't get any better when you get older either.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a brand new distraction. Mm-hmm. You think that the what I teach and the necessity of what I teach and understanding the rights and the historical basis and application of those things, I should be speaking to stadiums of people.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is, age knows no limit to distraction.
Mm.
It's just a different kind of distraction. I don't know what your guys' distraction is, but for the older generations, they know more about Duck Dynasty and Dancing with the Stars than they do the Supreme Court and what's going on. And then what happens is they're kicked into some kind of obligation to be political. And so they join a party, and then they absolutely support whatever candidate comes under that party because they're too distracted to find out the truth.
Mm-hmm. I actually got the opportunity to talk to your husband a little bit after your presentation. Mm-hmm. And something he said was that our education systems aren't teaching kids how to think. They're just teaching, they're putting them in a mold, and then they have to just fulfill that mold.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there's anything truer than that. I think that people aren't being taught how to think. They're being told what to think. And that's scary. I just don't think that someone has to, like you were talking about, Otis, I don't know.
James Otis Jr.
James Otis Jr. and how he was a whistleblower, and people need to stand up and speak out these things, and people need to wake people up, because if they don't, then people will remain, I guess, like me, but even worse probably, because they won't know what's happening until it's too late. And something you just said about you should be speaking to stadiums, I thought the same thing. I've never heard of you before, Chris Ann. That's a testament to my ignorance, but when you were speaking, the passion you were speaking with, the knowledge that you were speaking with, people needed to hear this stuff.
Lucas is just awesome. He is such a good spirit, and he is so excited about what he has just heard. He is so pumped up. He has so much energy and so much hope. I hope that we can pick up on that too. But do you hear their concerns? Are they your concerns too?
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Man, I don't know how you can't be supercharged. I don't know how you cannot be excited after listening to these young people, after learning the truth and wanting to know more, and excited to go out and fight for liberty, excited to learn about their rights, and excited about exercising them. We're going to continue with Lucas. Just listen to him, because he's awesome. Man.
I see you as maybe a more passionate Glenn Beck, and I don't know.
I don't know if that's...
I respect Glenn a lot, but he has an audience, a huge audience, and I'm sure you have a huge audience as well, but...
Oh, nothing like Glenn Beck, let me tell you.
this classroom, how many people were in? 100 maybe?
Yes, but there they were 100 people, young people.
Yeah.
Young people under the age of 27, probably. 27 mm-hmm. and younger, over 100. We about 100 of them, probably.
About 100, probably.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a whole lot more probably tonight. But more people need to hear this.
You were here from the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the discussions that opened up where we... Jeff asked, what kind of government do we have? And a number of them said democracy,
that's
and a number said republic.
Yeah.
So what did you think about that, the understanding the real relationship between a democracy and a republic?
You know, I never knew the difference before. And it's something that definitely threw me again for a loop. I guess you could say this is all pretty new to me.
Mm-hmm.
So my knowledge is really limited in understanding anything about the government. I know I stand for the Constitution. I know I stand for these things, but the democracy republic thing, I guess you could say I still really don't know very much about it.
So did the explanation, the brief explanation that I was able to give between the democracy and the republic, did it change how you think about what we are?
It did, and...
Do you want to have a democracy now?
No, I don't. And but I see us becoming more and more that way.
Right.
Which, again, I mean, I guess it all goes out to people need to stand up and speak, and they need not to be afraid of what they're going to speak because someone might judge them or someone might not agree with them. Mm-hmm. And when we worry too much about if people are going to agree with us, then I think you said it very well that we do become slaves to our own thoughts and our own minds, and it traps us. And I think that could be the downfall of our culture.
Well, you seem really excited about what you've learned, and I want to encourage you to sort of bottle up that excitement and use that to teach the other people, your other friends and stuff, about how the things that we've learned, and encourage them to get involved. And make sure that you share the website. Make sure that you give them the information and direct them to where they need to be. Because we've got to get this stuff out. And again, like you said, I'm not Glenn Beck. I'm not getting the crowds that he's getting. But I have every single person in this room now who has a little piece of truth that they can share. And I hope that you will be inspired to do that.
I already am.
Yay! Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you.
No more excuses. No more sitting around. No more bad-mouthing the young people. No more. I just, so much encouragement. I have another interview that I'm going to do for you tomorrow of a 17-year-old young man and his 13-year-old brother, 13 or 12, I can't remember. I met them 3 years ago. 3 years later, see what's happened over those 3 years. See how their passions have exploded. See how much you should be encouraged by these young people. No more. No more. These guys are worth it. If it's just these guys. If it's just these guys, it's worth it. It is worth it. Because we're building a future. We may not have much right now. But we are building a future where these men will be the liberty we hoped them to be. And they are concerned now at 27 about their children. Praise God. This is why we fight.